Praise the Lord. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome all once again to the house of God. And all of you watching right now online, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. On this beautiful week thus far that God has blessed this guy with, how about you? Amen. Yes. Has your week been okay so far?
Yes.
Or at least extra all right? Yeah. For me, it has. I got to ride my bike to church today. Yeah. So that's always, always amazing. Get some fresh air, some fresh breeze. Just before I got here, I got a low tire pressure on my motorcycle. Ugh. Yep. That's what happens when you just get it out of the garage, you know. Got to make sure your tires are all inflated and everything. But anyways, praise the Lord. All is well. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'll take the back road on the way back. All right. We have a little Bible study here tonight. I'm going to go straight to the point. There's a small word for us from the Lord here tonight. And as we always do, let's start with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we bless your name this evening. As we sung tonight, Lord, we love you so very much. We thank you, Lord, so much for keeping us safe on the roads, keeping us safe, Lord, at home, at work. I thank you, Lord, very much that you are with us everywhere we go. You never leave us, Lord. You never forsake us, not at all, not once. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that everyone listening right now, everyone watching right now, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be doing all the ministering. I pray, Lord, that your people will hear your voice instead of mine. I pray that they will see you, Holy Spirit, instead of me. May you be glorified, Lord, tonight. And not just today, Lord, but forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's start out with a short verse here tonight. We're going to read 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a short verse. Second Timothy chapter 1, and then we're going to focus here on verse 7. Amen? All right, let's read. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of what?" Fear does not come from God. It clearly says it in the Word of God right now. But of power. First thing on the list. Second is of love. And third thing, a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Before I get into my notes here tonight, actually, we're going to be talking about Timothy here quite a bit, but before I get to Timothy right now, I want to shine light on something that I believe is a good time to shine light on. And that is timidity. And that's the title for my evening message here tonight. No timidity. None. We become timid of so many things in our lives. But you know what's one of the greatest things that people oftentimes are afraid of? If you think about it or not, people oftentimes worry about what others think about them. Right? I hope you weren't going to say, like, the boogeyman or something like that. Or of the dark. Or you're afraid of doing your taxes in this tax season. Or something like that, you know? There's oftentimes posts from people that they put on social media explaining, sometimes graphically, how they don't care what other people think about them, right? And sometimes it's very, you know, maybe too graphic. And I stop and I wonder and I think, well, for you to put up all these profane, obscene language on social media and all these emojis just to tell people that you don't care what they think about you tells me that you kind of really do, you know? But I'm just going to leave that one right there, right? Let's move on. And many times we don't stop and think about it. We don't stop and think about how that has an effect on us in a negative way. About, you know, how do they see me? What's my persona? What do they think about me? Right? Sometimes that reflects on the way that someone dresses. Maybe the way that the way they speak. It could reflect on the vehicle that they drive. Or maybe they want to be seen as someone who is accomplished. Whatever the case might be. Someone who is illustrious. Whatever. And so right then and there, potentially you are under a particular spirit, which is fear. Which clearly here in 2 Timothy 1, we all know that fear does not come from God. Now, Timothy, in the Word of God, he is a figure of great inspiration. I am inspired by Timothy. In my opinion, he had the first mega church in the early church. He is a character. He is characterized, I should say, by various profound virtues. And every one of these virtues has been bestowed upon Timothy by the Holy Spirit. I know you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Do you not? We all believe in the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Spirit-filled church. We would love to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. We don't ever want to be afraid, which many times disables or cripples the Holy Spirit from doing something or using you in your life, right? And it is not discreetly written why Timothy needed a reminder of his ordination. A reminder of the confidence that was bestowed upon him. It is not explicitly written. But let's try to figure things out here. Okay? In 1 Timothy, right now we're reading 2 Timothy, but if you go back to 1 Timothy, Timothy's ordination is linked to a problem dealing, first of all, with his youth, okay? With his appearance. And I'll tell you right now, I've dealt with that problem myself. You know, especially in the early days of my pastoralship, people who looked at me and maybe knew a little bit about me and maybe a little bit of my background, and they might have didn't. They never came across and said and threatened me with anything like they threatened Timothy. But I can sense a lot of times that people kind of questioned my ability to do my job at its full potential. And praise God, you know, you put it in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing how the Lord takes care of everything for you. All right? So when you are in the will of God, when you are under the will of God continuously, the Lord takes care of everything, right? It's almost like it's a free ride, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say that? Not free in the essence of everything is a freebie, no. But the Lord opens the doors. He makes a way. And when you have trouble and situations, He also provides the victory. Yes. Amen. And at the end, his name is glorified. But in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12, which is my next verse that we're going to read, it describes exactly what I'm referring to right now. 1 Timothy 4:12, which says this. You can put it up. Let no one despise your what?
Youth.
But be an example to the believers. And here we go. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and last one,
purity.
Purity. You see that? Boy, I blessed it. I wonder if Timothy knew who he had on his, who had his back, I should say. Who was watching his back? Who was his spiritual father? Sometimes I wonder. I feel very blessed that I have a spiritual father who blesses me, who prays for me, who mentors me, you know, and us, and prays for us and intercedes for us. He prophesies over me. He lectures me. He corrects me also at times. And right now, Paul is speaking to little Timothy right now, young Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you or despise your youth. Don't let it happen. But overcome, and this is how you do it. And he gives the formula. And this formula is to prevent others from looking down on Timothy because of how old he is. And here Paul instructs Timothy to not let anyone despise. That's kind of a strong word. Who he is. Something that's almost impossible. Something almost impossible that you cannot control at any given time is how somebody else behaves. Right? You can't control somebody else's behavior. You can't. And it seems as though what Paul is telling Timothy right now almost seems to be the impossible, but then he gives a solution. Paul's instruction, however, becomes clear when the latter part of the verse is added. Don't let your youthfulness or other people's opinion intimidate you. And this is the instruction for us today. Amen? Some people lose sleep about knowing that someone might potentially not have the greatest view about them, or what they said behind their back, or that they might not be in great favor with a particular person, A, B, and C. Sometimes you value the opinion of someone, right? Someone that you trust, someone that you care about, someone that you want them to think great things about you. And oftentimes, that might steal your peace. It might even lead you to do things that you're not supposed to do. Right now, the Word of God is saying, don't let that happen. Instead, Timothy was to demonstrate a sense of maturity by living such a godly life that he would become a pattern to you and me today in every area of our life. That speaks right now of a great maturity. What is that? Well, for one, we start out by what we say. By speech, but what you speak. And you speak, and your speech all the way over carries on to the rest of your life. What comes out of your mouth to be followed by your conduct, otherwise your behavior. And then it talks about love. It talks about faith. It talks about purity. Purity is the last one on the list right now. Because when you have everything else that comes before purity, the end result is just that. You are purified. You are a pure person. The Holy Spirit pures you. Amen? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verse 15. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And the Word of God says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Amen. Now, I analyze this verse right now. I look at this verse and I try to imagine right now. You have young Timothy, full of energy, full of life, full of vigor, eager to serve the Lord, has experiences with God, right? Has been anointed with oil, had hands laid upon him, but now all of a sudden, he is faced with situations that he's never seen before. It could very well be that around his time, he might have seen something equivalent to the magnitude of COVID-19. Whereas no one in the whole world have ever encountered a shutdown of everything globally. You can't even go outside. Many people suffered from panic and fear and anxiety and all types of things because they feared the unknown. And now Paul is now talking about watch your conduct when you are in the house of God. What you say. Watch what you do. Because people are watching you. Potentially all these people in his church were new converts. They were new believers. They all had their eye on him. And so now this is all going on in the back of the mind of Timothy. Or many people are going to say that perhaps he felt intimidated by the opposition that his spiritual father, meaning the Apostle Paul, he was intimidated about everything that was going on with him. And then he might think, oh boy, they're coming after me next. And the gospel. And the defense that he had to go upon based upon the attack that he was facing. Or maybe because he was ashamed that his spiritual father was in prison. That he's writing all these letters to him from prison. And now think about it. If you were in Timothy's shoes, would have ever crossed your mind something like, man, this could be me. I could be next. They're going to be coming after me. You see all these miracles and signs and these wonders and all these people hungry for God. And now all the Jews and all the religious leaders, I mean, all these people are, they go all the way up to the government setting, right? They're all long-time traditional Jewish people. They're going to come after me. And now I see what's happening to him. I see what's happening to all my brothers. And I see to this, to all this apostle, that disciple. And all this thing is bearing down on the mind of Timothy. Now, one thing that I am a strong advocate of, everything that we read in the Word of God applies to us today. Amen? Every single thing. Right now we have young Timothy facing a situation right now where there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of question marks. There's a whole lot of unknowns right now. Many variables, many pieces moving. There's persecution. But how about you today, right here, right now? Could it be that you might be facing a particular situation in your life that might be causing more stress than it's worth? Yeah? Stress from what? From the unknown. What's going to happen to me tomorrow? What's going to be of me next year? From your job. From your peers. From the people you love. Right? What do people think about me? What do they say? Amen? Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Give you a moment there to turn the page. 2 Timothy 1, 8. And it reads, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." There are several things right now that we can extract just from this one verse. And I'm going to work backwards right now. Everything that we do, let me back up a little bit more. When we place ourselves under the mighty hand of God, when we are aligned to His purpose and His will and His calling over our lives, when we are not living in disobedience, and even at times when we have a fall here and there, God's grace is able to lift us back up if you humble yourself from it. This is how I believe. Okay? When you are doing the work of God, you experience something. And that something is power. You experience the power of God. You will never experience the power of God outside of the will of God, okay, one, or when you are not doing His work. There are many things that we can do through the Lord Jesus that are unexplainable. Many things that are able to aid us or aid others. Things that are unimaginable. But outside of that, if we are outside of that sphere and that realm, anything outside of that would just bring glory to ourselves and not to God. And this is why I say we have to be under the perfect will of God. But going back right now, Paul is saying, do not be ashamed of the gospel, of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel. But not just in vain, according to the power of the Lord God, our Lord God. What is this saying right now? No timidity. No timidity. There could never be cowardness and timidity in the life of the saint. But rather, boldness. Boldness through Christ. Amen? Amen. The Lord right now, He's not looking for cowards. He's not looking for people that are timid. He's not looking for people that are always hesitant, always taking the back seat. Oh, because I don't have the qualifications. Oh, because I don't know enough. Oh, because I can't speak. I haven't studied or read as much as you have, Pastor. I don't have the experience. I don't have the know-how. The Lord can't use nobody like that. No, 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 not at all. I've mentioned this so many times up here. And I'm going to add once again to that amount right now. You ready? You know how many times I've been up here in the beginning of my pastoralship and I was sweating bricks. But you couldn't tell because I had a suit on. But it would be chilly in here and I would be of nervousness. But I went forth. Especially in the beginning, you know. It took me a long time for me to get used to hearing the sound of my voice in a big room like this. Little things like that, you know. Man, I can't speak without stuttering. That's how I used to be. Not anymore, right? I was like little Moses. So many things. Oh, I don't have a doctor's degree like Pastor Paul Sr. there, you know, the previous pastor. A doctor's degree in theology. Oh, what am I going to do? I had to put all of that aside, out of my mind. Imagine if I would have been like, I've heard so many excuses here. I asked someone to preach like on a 2 p.m. service. And I think now it's comedy. I think I've heard this way too many times that now I just chuckle. When they don't want to do it, you know what they say? Let me pray about it. Yep. Let me pray about it, Pastor, and I'll get back to you. You know, let's see if it's the will of God. So then I tell them, it is the will of God. I'm telling you right now, it is the will of God. Oh, Pastor, but I just need confirmation. Okay, all right. Let me know when you get the confirmation. And you know that I'm still waiting? Like Elijah, you know, talking to the false prophets, you know, is your God asleep? Is he hard of hearing? Has he gone on vacation that he cannot hear you or respond to you? And all right? I'm still waiting for that answer, you know. The Lord wants us to be bold. He wants us to go. And Paul right now is saying, do not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of me right now locked up. Do not be ashamed. That directly refers to other people, does it not? Other people, you feel a sense of shame because of what other people might think of you. That's it. And that all has to do right here on your mind. And that is called fear. The spirit of fear. No timidity. Amen? No cowardness. There is no place in that in the service of our Lord. Amen? But instead, God has already given every single one of us, very first one on the list, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. You have a sound mind. You have love. God is love, and His Spirit is inside of you. You have power. But what shuts down the power? What shuts down the love? What shuts down a fine-sounding, functioning mind? Come on, you know it. What is it? What is it? What is it?
Fear.
Fear. See how crippling fear can be? Dunamis power, magnificent power, but fear shuts all of that down. Amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:4. It's going to be my last verse here for tonight. 1 Corinthians 2:4. The Word of God says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This is how we ought to operate.
Amen.
Amen. This is how we ought to proceed. When you remove fear out of the equation, when you stop worrying about what people think, what they're going to say, if they're going to judge you or not, when you remove all these things from the equation, all of a sudden, you can just flow. This is how it works. You can just flow in the Spirit. A demonstration. You want to bring honor to God? You want to glorify Him? You want to put God at the highest pedestal possible? Remove fear from your life and serve Him with all of your heart. And watch the Holy Spirit show off through you. Demonstration of both the Spirit and power. Two different things. Those two things are awesome. Paul used this method so that our faith might be in the power of God and not in intellectual wisdom. That's where my faith is. The God that I serve had the power to raise His Son from the dead. And that exact same power is inside of us as a gift, per the Word of God. That is massive power. I believe in that power. I believe in that power because my God is alive. My God is not dead. I believe in that power because the Word of God says He gave it to me, so I believe it, and all fear is gone. So I'm going to go forth and do it. I don't got the spirit of fear. I have the spirit of power, and I have the spirit of love, and also a perfectly sound mind. Amen? This mind that God will use for the honor and glory of His name. Paul preached under the anointing and also under the power of the Spirit and confirmed what he preached with signs following right behind it. Right behind it. I had the pleasure to follow my spiritual father around for a couple of weeks. Last month, I was translating in some of the places that we went. And we also went to some Portuguese-speaking churches. And it was every night, it was the same thing. We walk in somewhere, you know, same thing, worship, there's announcements and everything else. And then he would be introduced and he would preach the word. He would give his testimony and preach the word. And after the word is preached, it's time for miracles. I'm so serious right now. Every night was a miracle night. And I'm talking about instant miracle. Creative miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our brother's on fire right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this is what we like to see, brothers and sisters. The Word of God preached. The Word of God preached, and the signs and the wonders and the miracles to follow right afterwards. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So should we. This is how we ought to be. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let fear rob you from all of that. This is your portion in life. Did you know that? I think only some of us knew that. Well, now you know. I got like 3 minutes. This is your portion in life.
Amen.
Do not let fear rob you from anything
Amen.
That God has for you.
Amen.
Timidity. Don't be timid.
Hallelujah.
Do not let timidity rob you from anything whatsoever.
Oh,
but go forth under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. Lord, we adore you. I thank you, Lord, so much for this power that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the ability that you've given us to serve you with signs and wonders to follow, confirming, Lord, your word through your saints. I pray, Lord, that all of us will remove timidity from their hearts. And I pray, Lord, a sound mind on every single person, Lord, here tonight, and the sound of my voice right now, at this very moment, in the name of Jesus. I speak, Lord, right now, boldness, and such a boldness, Lord, that could only come from the Holy Spirit. Not carnal boldness, Lord, not earthly boldness, but one, Lord, that comes from the depth of the heart of the Father. I pray, Lord, that we will serve you in spirit and truth, with all humility, with all humbleness. May we want to please you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will utilize all that you've given us to serve you even more as days goes on. We bless your holy name, Lord, for this word tonight, and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for his word. I hope we have all been blessed. It is time for us to give. Please give generously as the Lord has blessed you. Stretch forth your hands as we bless this offering. Father, we thank you once again for the grace and the opportunity to give to your house, Lord. We pray that, Lord, may you bless the seeds that we have sown. We pray that, Lord, may you sanctify this, O Lord, as a token of our appreciation, O Lord, unto you, Lord. And may you bless each and every one of us, O Lord, with that which money cannot buy. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.